Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Patrick, have you been noticing how many new albums Scott Parks has gotten this year? I mean, he's been posting a lot of purchases on social media.
Oh yeah, he really has been building up that collection.
I know. Before too long, he'll have more albums than you. Cornucopia, this horn of plenty that is the patron episodes. It just keeps giving and giving, right? And so the show is Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
I got to get that out of the way right away because we will get too caught up in the discussion and Patrick will just plow forward and we'll forget, right? So that's done. That business is done. We've introduced ourselves. And when I mentioned the patron episodes, that means that we have Patreon benefactors who get to be on the show once every 3 months and they get to pick the topic. And we love having them on. It's not just a get to it. We love it. And what's really happened lately is they keep inviting like other people. So the party just keeps getting bigger and bigger. Right?
It's an amazing. It's great. Yeah, the way our patrons have been tackling this challenge and just using the opportunity to do so much cool stuff, I don't feel like we deserve any of that.
No.
Like, you know, nothing at all. So, and the person we're going to hear from today, man, if you go back and listen to all of his patron episodes, it would make a great, great series. So welcome, Scott Parks, and we'll let you set up the guests that you have invited.
Yeah, thanks. How's it going, guys?
Good.
What's going on?
Well. Good to talk to you.
So, you know, I didn't really have anything I wanted to ramble on for 30 to 45 minutes like I've done over the course of my Patreon time. So
break down 20 albums in 30 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, so I figured I would try to kind of pay it forward a little bit. Me being a music junkie, vinyl junkie, podcast junkie, it kind of came to me that I would invite some people that, you know, are musicians. They have a band and they also have a podcast, a music podcast that I've become a pretty big fan of. So who we have today is Luke Condon and Russ Condon from the band Town Meeting. They're from Massachusetts, and they also are two of the three hosts of, again, one of my favorite newish podcasts called Long May You Young, that covers all of Neil Young's albums, basically in chronological order, and it's a great podcast. So I figured, you know, let's pay it forward, bring another band on. I've only known about them for the last 6-7 months or so since they've been doing the podcast, but they can't tour. It's hard to, you know, be able to get their name out, so I wanted to
Thanks for the reminder.
Yeah, I know. I wanted to bring them on to introduce them to the community because I think their style of music is something that a good portion of the RTS community is going to really dig.
That's great. So, well, welcome, guys.
Yeah, welcome. Thanks for having us. And thanks, Scott, for thinking of us.
Stoked to be here.
Yeah, when Patrick mentioned Scott's other contributions, his Patreon episodes, one of them he did was went through a whole bunch of Neil Young albums.
I listened to that episode. Yes. It was the '80s, right?
The '80s. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. And while they love Neil Young as much as I do, they don't love the '80s Neil Young as much as I do. So, okay.
Like I've grown to like Landing on Water and I'm, you know, not as fond of trans as you are, Russ.
And, and I think Russ,
I also
trans.
Like Everybody's Rockin' and Old Ways. So
yeah, those are good. Exactly. Right. Good so ones. If you put these two together, it's me because I like them all and they only like parts of them. Right. So
we also need to be careful because if we just start this now, it's going to be the whole 30 minutes is us just talking about Neil in the '80s.
Right. So we've covered that ground already, but we're done. Just be thankful we weren't discussing Kiss in the '80s. That's all.
Yeah. That's a whole different thing, man.
Right. Let's talk first off about your band Town Meeting. So how did that get started? I've listened to your stuff, but tell the listeners what, you know, style of music you're doing and what you're hoping to achieve with that band.
I know this is probably something everyone says. It's really hard to figure out what genre we are because I feel like we keep changing a little bit and adding and kind of doing whatever the hell we want. But it started off just me on an acoustic guitar and Russ playing a djembe. And it was just like kind of for fun around our town. You know, we would play coffee shops and a martini bar. We played a martini bar the day Michael Jackson died, and it went terribly. It was a really bad show.
It was really bad.
It officially became Town Meeting when I took a little break, and Russ got offered a show. At he was playing just kind of some covers with some friends, and they had to cancel. And he said, hey, man, why don't we take this? It's a 3-hour gig. It pays $75. And I think we got one free drink. And I'm like, ah, yeah, let's try it. We'll just like play like covers. And we had probably between the two of us, maybe 15 originals. And it went so well that we booked, I think that day we booked another show there for like a month later. And then we just kind of got hooked. You know, we called in some friends, we called in our other brother eventually, and just started to catch on locally. And then we started expanding as you do. And now here we are in a pandemic, and all our expanding has gone right back down to.
Yeah, it's wild because we start at a small local little coffee shop, but this year we were, 2020, we got everything confirmed to be on the main stage with Willie and with
Government and Margo Mule, Price.
Margo Price. It was like this big, huge, it would have been our biggest thing to date. And then the pandemic happened. So now Scott talks about touring. We're just touring Zoom calls. It's just what you do now. So we're making the best of it. And like Luke said, we're just having fun. Beats being depressed. So we're excited to just be doing stuff and meeting new people this way, you know?
Yeah.
Well, that's really impressive. I mean, how long has the band been together? How long have you been doing this?
8 years?
Yeah, it's coming on 9, I think.
8 or 9, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, our first album that we like took seriously was If I Die, and that probably came out. Was it 2015, Russ?
I don't remember.
I still feel like we're playing band, like we're going to get caught eventually, that this is just a joke, and I still don't know why people pay to see
it. It's the imposter syndrome.
I tell you what, I disagree. I listened to your first release last night, and I hadn't, you know, again, I'm just kind of new to them. I bought their newest record on Bandcamp, on one of the Bandcamp Fridays, you know, of the last few months. And I really hadn't had time to kind of dig back in. But I listened to the 2016 release. It's incredible. And I was just listening to the 2018 release tonight, and it's also incredible. And you can definitely hear a progression. And I don't think you're playing band. You are an incredible band. And you're just honing your craft, and you're just getting better and better and better. So
I think there's some talented songwriters between the three brothers. And then also Tim and Derek, the other guys, are also great songwriters. And I think we all play well. And the most important part was we just really like what we do, and we have fun doing it. There was a period where we were starting to take it too seriously. And then we kind of just were like, nah, fuck that. We just need to get back to the roots of just enjoying playing together and for other people and that whole energy.
I got to ask you guys sort of a two-parted question. So number one, how did, when you go on Spotify, which is where a lot of people will go look you guys up, you know, when they hear this podcast, our community, how do you have a song that has over a million listens? And I don't mean that in any way.
No, totally.
It's a great song called West of Seattle. You guys got to listen to it.
Yep.
But I wanted to ask you this sort of as a sidebar. When I heard that song, my immediate reaction was, I want to dump this on my playlist right now, my current one, right? Because I always have one going. Do you think that has something to do with the, you know, the numbers for that song?
Yeah.
I think so. I think probably the simple answer is just dumb luck. And whatever the Spotify algorithm was at the time.
But it's a great song.
Yeah, we like that song, and I appreciate it. But it's staggering. And we do fairly well for a semi-local band on Spotify. Like, most of our stuff, it does decent, but, like, that song has skyrocketed. And I think whatever the algorithm was at the time when we put it out, I think it threw the song onto people's Discover Weeklies. Mm. You know how Spotify does that? And it just never went away, and it just keeps making
the
rounds.
And then I think it's just a snowball effect of folks like you, Patrick, who... Right. Like, this has a cool playlisty vibe. So then they throw it on.
And I want to go back to it and check it out deeper and like listen to the band. But this is how I want to remember these guys, right? I want to just pin it by doing that.
Well, it's also funny because so that's our number one song. And that's a pretty serious song. It kind of deals with, you know, kind of like some darker thoughts, a little bit of suicidal thoughts.
Intriguing.
And,
yeah.
And then our second most streamed song is this song called New Hampshire. I don't even know if that's our second most streamed song, but it's always our number two. And I'm so confused because we...
Oh, actually, no, it's number three now. But
is it three? Oh, thank God.
Yeah, I have the answer for this.
Okay.
It's geography fans.
Oh, my daddy was a hardworking soul. He drove his truck into the city long before the sun would show. And as he filled all those gas stations up with liquid gold. He would dream of a better place to go. Up that central highway, surrounded by the pines, to the lake below the mountains where the water slows downtown. And all the trembling that comes with the dollar and the dime, it gets lost when you cross the state line. And oh, New Hampshire, you never fail to take me in your arms when I need an answer. I'm going up to New Hampshire.
You think that's what it is?
That's what it is.
It could be.
You're on a lot of geographic
geography playlists. Nerds.
That's actually the name of that EP where those two songs come from. It's called Geography Part 1.
Yeah.
But, oh, is it? Oh,
well, weirdly enough, you can look at the analytics, and all those streams for New Hampshire come from like a bunch of Asian countries.
Really?
Taiwan streams New Hampshire like you wouldn't believe.
Weird.
I think Japan is one of them, and it's just like an odd, it's just very bizarre because we really don't play that song live that
much.
Really? Yeah. And it's fun. It's a fun song, but it's just not like something we do often.
But this is interesting.
That's interesting, yeah.
Because like when I see a band and I see that they have one song that has performed so much better than, you know, other songs on Spotify, I just assume, well, they must have got a sync license or something. Like that song was in a TV show or something.
If you
like
know
that,
someone, right? Please.
So
yeah, that's the one
Not
thing
the
we've
case,
been
right?
trying to do for yeah. in years. Is
is that right?
Is just get a song on Grey's Anatomy.
Just it's one just, song. Just one song, and then we can afford to make another album.
There you go. There you go.
Now here's my question: you guys are brothers, and you mentioned another brother.
Yep,
so you obviously grew up in a musical family?
We did, yeah. Our dad was the like worship leader in the church, and so he played guitar and sang all of the like, you know, worship tunes, and so he's the musical one in the family, and he's great. Our dad is a great guitar player, and he's a singer. So that's sort of where that kind of came from. But Luke started writing when he was really young. He actually did hip hop and stuff. And
why?
I was always, I have to, man, because that's how it comes from. And I was always kind of blown away by how talented his writing was.
And then
it kind of became a thing as we grew older that you just become like a folky artist, you know? But yeah,
well, I think that's the kind of music we both were gravitating towards at the time we started performing. Like we just, that first Mumford & Sons album, we both really liked. Avett Brothers were huge fans. And also, we just love playing acoustic music.
Neil,
obviously.
Neil was always
Neil
and
Dawes.
Dylan. Yeah.
Dylan, yeah.
And then I guess it's just one of those weird things that happens with like brother bands or family bands where you just lock into some weird harmony. I mean, there's so many examples. We brought up the Avett Brothers, but you know, there's too many examples through history.
The Wood Brothers. The Righteous Brothers.
Yeah, there's just so many of those those examples.
The Smothers Brothers.
Well, I mean, your harmony.
The Walker Brothers.
For me, that's what ties me to the music, and that's what like gets into my soul is the harmony.
Yeah.
Almost every single song has these wonderful blood harmony. It's like the Leuven Brothers, you know, like it's incredible. Like literally you guys can sing together and it sounds like one person with two different voices at the exact same time, or three different voices, or it sounds like sometimes five different voices. I don't even know, but I love it. I love it.
Thank you.
Thanks. I think that's probably another part of why West of Seattle is popular, because it's kind of strong harmonies right off the get-go.
Yeah.
You know? So
it's just more enjoyable for me anyway. I don't know. Like Russ, I would say it's rare that I compliment Russ, but I'll say he's probably got the most range as a singer. But for me, like I just like singing harmonies more. And I think Russ probably did the same thing. Like whenever you're driving and listen to music, if we're driving together, we fight over the harmony when we're singing along to whatever song we're listening to.
That's
so
funny. Your mention of fights brings me to my next logical question, which is this. Who referees your fights? That you guys have.
Oh
man,
you want me to take this one?
Yes,
I'll say
we should fight over it.
Do you remember that Metallica documentary that came out not too long ago? And it was about how they like just
monster,
some kind of monster,
something like that. But they talk about they have a band therapist, and everyone made fun of them. But they're still going when all these other bands split up. And I think there's a lot to that.
Yeah,
part of why we can survive, I think, is I don't know if we like, we've been through a lot of shit as a band. And also, like, our format or style is let little things build up and then me and Russ will just have a screaming match.
Yeah, there you go.
And then, like, it'll maybe be 2 or 3 hours. And then at the end, we feel really good. And then we'll write an album. Like,
right. A part of it, maybe for me, is just I feel no matter how tense or whatever aggressive things have and can become, there's always a like a base layer of respect for each other's talent, I think, because I think deep down Luke and I both are always sort of come back to complimenting each other. Like I will always say, like, Luke is one of my favorite songwriters of all time, and then Luke will drop in little things about me being a writer or a great singer or drummer or whatever, and those things are seem to always be there at below all the bullshit, if that makes sense. To me, I can always find my way back to that.
It's good to communicate that. I just think that gets neglected, but it's important to, like, yeah, well, like, we joke around constantly, but it's important to kind of build each other up. And I think we make a decent effort to do that. And also, we're a band, like, it's not like I write the songs and everyone else plays them. Like, there's literally five of us, so every song sometimes becomes a battle, so we kind of get used to fighting a little bit. Mm-hmm. And we also get used to being wrong, which is good. Mm-hmm. We have a single coming out in March, and it's a song that Russ wrote called Imitator, and we're super pumped about it. But, like, even what happens is one of us will kind of bring the idea to the table and we'll all workshop it together. And me and our electric guitarist will bicker about the stupidest things.
Yeah, they fight more than we do.
but we also talk every day. Like, we just love each other. So it's – but like this one I think was like, are we going to start with acoustic or an electric slide-in? And we fought – Russ can attest to this. We fought for like 2 hours about this, and it's such a dumb – like, nonsense thing, but I was, like, standing my ground, and he was standing his ground, and eventually we went kind of with his idea, and I, like, swallowed my pride, and I'm like, you know what, at the end of the day, I kind of, like, it was Russ's baby, let's kind of, like, lean towards him, and now we record it, it sounds great, I'm super glad that I yielded, I'm really happy, I don't regret fighting for what I thought was what made sense, but, and so I talked to him yesterday, Russ, you'll find this interesting. And I said, you know what? I think it came out really good. I think it got mixed really well. And I said, you remember that weird fight we had about the intro? And he's like, yeah. He's like, you know what? I think you were right. And I'm like, I was just about to tell you I think you were right because I really like how it sounds.
Right. It's just, well, I'll tell you this, man. Two things I'll say. One, I got a bootleg CD that I bought years ago of just the Gallagher brothers fighting. Like, it was recorded at, like, sound checks and stuff. It's so nuts, man. It's so funny. Like, you can barely understand it half the time because they're so talking in accents, but it's so funny.
Yeah, their Mancunian accents are, like, indecipherable. God, like, you cannot understand it.
The other thing I'll say is I was having a conversation with somebody about kind of that same thing, man, and I think a big part of this is making music right now in these times when you're completely uncertain about what the future of live music is going to look like. You know, are you going to have to show your inoculation ID or, you know, you're going to have some kind of chip that people scan so you can go in. But if it wasn't that way and you were out playing on a regular basis, you might not sweat that intro so much because you could take it, you know, like Neil Young would. He would take it on the road. And, oh, we'll work this out. You know, we'll
play
it.
True.
Like, by the time we play and play and play, it'll be the way we really want it, right?
Which is kind of what we normally would have done.
Right.
Like, for most
exactly.
of our
songs. So I can totally see, like, oh, my God, this might be the last time anybody ever, you know, here's this song. We got to get it super perfect. So I can totally understand.
Yeah, that's a whole nother thing that there's just so much weird uncertainty, which I mean I know this has been for the past year, which is nuts that it's a year now.
That's right.
It's crazy.
It's just been the only thing musicians have talked about, so I'm sure no one wants to hear about it anymore, but it is wild to be in that sort of weird predicament. But you just do what you got to do, you know.
Well, credit to you guys for recording new music and moving forward. It's not easy to be motivated.
Thank you.
you know, the vibe I got from listening to your latest record reminded me of that Dawes song, Western Skyline, or That Western Skyline, where it's got that rising and falling, the rhythm of that. Plus, the lyrics are really, really interesting. I mean, how do you guys deal with words in the band? Is it just the guy who brings in the song, or do you collaborate on that at all?
It's both. West to Seattle was collaborative. Was really collaborative.
I would say this latest record was our most collaborative yet. And we all seem, me, Russ, and Babe, our youngest brother, we all seem to kind of like get kind of whiffs of inspiration at different times of the year. So like when it comes time to record an album, I kind of call myself like a second verse guy. Like I don't always have the ideas, but I'll help punch up a song or write a second verse or a third verse. And this one, there was maybe two or three where one person wrote all the lyrics and all the rest were like, hey, I have this idea. I've got a first verse and maybe half of a second. And it was just such a kind of a rewarding process to do it that way that I think we really kind of – it may have backfired a little because now I'll write a first verse and I'll be like, nah, the other guys can take care of it. Like,
right. Yeah.
I also have like 100 songs that I'm like, yeah, Luke will make a bridge to this.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah,
because I just have like 40 choruses.
Yeah, that'd be a good good Twitter bio. Second verse guy.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Pretty understated.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned your younger brother. Tell us a little bit about him.
Oh, geez.
So this is the best way I can describe Babe.
His name's Brendan, but we call
his name's
Babe.
Brendan. Yeah. We've called him Babe since we were kids. It's just what. But me and Russ will write hundreds of songs, and three of them will make an album. Babe will write two songs and both of them will make an album.
Got it. Yeah.
And he's incredibly talented. And I think he just, I love him with all my heart, but I think he can't be bothered with anything. He's got his thing that he does and he does it. He loves mushrooms. He's also the most talented harmonica player I've ever heard.
Wow.
In my opinion. So,
yeah, none of us were ever taught music. None of us can read or write music. So, we all kind of play by feel. And Babe is sort of the shining example of that in our band, of someone who never had a lesson and doesn't know how to read or write music, but is just an incredibly talented harmonica player. It's nuts how good
he's
is.
He's the one who conceptualized West of Seattle. That was his idea.
Oh, is that right? Baby. Wow. Yeah. Interesting. So. Yeah.
And again, I don't know you guys, but I think the best thing I heard about Babe is during a live show, he only shows up when it's his part. So he'll be on stage during his part, because you guys you talked about this at one point. He will show up for his part. He will then walk off stage and be gone.
that's only been a few shows, but
depends. His part again.
He does get distracted.
It depends if he's dropped acid before the show or not, which is common.
He's at the Walgreens.
Yeah.
Why is he at Walgreens?
I think on the same episode I told this story, but we played a couple nights in Traverse City, Michigan, which we had never been to before. And there's dunes out there, like these crazy dunes. The in-between day, we said, let's just go like hike out in these dunes and check it out. And it's miles of dunes. And I'm a fat person. Like I'm not like as into hiking as I used to be, but I'm like, hell yeah, let's go do this. And right before we go up this like crazy monster climb for this first dune, Babe pulls out a plastic bag and it's just filled with shrooms.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Babe, none of us do that. Like, we don't really do that. And he's like, I know, it's my birthday. These are for me. And he eats the whole bag of mushrooms. Wow. And he couldn't have been more sober than the rest of us. Like, it just doesn't hit him like it hits anyone else. But
yeah.
He can write a great song.
There you go. I like the story about him just only wanting to be on stage when he's actually like playing his part. And Scott, you intimate that there's something wrong with that. Like,
I say that's my favorite. That's like my favorite story that they've told about Babe.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
His instrument is a harmonica, so he can do that. Like, I'm plugged in. Russ is sitting behind a drum kit. Like, none of us can actually do that.
I picture him knowing he's got his harp in his pocket.
He's also not wearing shows.
He never wears his part. Yeah. He walks off the stage. He does what he wants to do. He hears the part of the song coming up. He walks on stage, does his part.
Well, that's where you don't always have it right, Scott, because there's been shows where his part's coming up because he has to, not only does he have to play harmonica, but he has to sing. And I look over on the side of the stage and he's chugging beers. And I'm like, so then his part comes up and he's not there. So then I have to sing his part.
Anytime we play locally, like if we play Boston or like even more Central Mass, he brings his own entourage and they just feed him alcohol the whole show, which is great during the first set. But by the second set, there's a point where I'll look at Russ and I'll be like, we got like 30 minutes left before we just lose Babe completely.
Yeah, right.
And that's usually when we kick into Neil Young. That's when he walks
off the stage and doesn't come back.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. All right. We got to wrap this up in a few minutes, but I just want to ask you guys each real quickly. I'm going to start by setting the ground rules that you cannot pick decade.
Okay.
Otherwise, what's your favorite Neil Young album?
So this changes for me almost monthly, and not just because of the podcast, but mine and Russ, yours might be the same. Right now, mine's Time Fades Away. We talked with Griffin from Ghost of Paul, and he was talking about that album, and I hopped back into it for a little while, and I really, really love that album. Don't Be Denied, cool. I think, is my favorite Neil song. So,
yeah, that's definitely one that I've been coming back to a lot lately, and we've brought it up on the podcast a lot recently. But for me, my all-time favorite still is probably After the Gold Rush, but I think On the Beach is nipping at its heels. Mm. On the Beach is probably my favorite Neil. I just, having Levon in there as well, and Ben Keith, and For the Turnstiles is just one of my favorite songs. I love it. So
totally, man.
Oh, there's Time Fades Away. Nice.
Yeah, really? Yeah. I got it too. I just don't want to grab it.
I got two copies of that one. Sorry.
What about you, Scott? You probably answered on Facebook, but what about you?
Well, you guys mentioned it on one of your episodes that I did comment that on a lot of days, and it was in our 80s Neil podcast, was Trance. So Trance.
Your favorite Neil album?
I do remember
on
that.
Most days, Trance is my favorite.
Really? Maybe I blocked that out.
That's a bold statement.
I will preface that by saying, because before I listened to it, I knew the backstory. I was late to Neil. My first Neil purchase was Harvest Moon on CD in 1992.
Cool.
I then skipped Sleepless Angels for some reason, and then I ended up getting Mirrorball, and then I kind of stopped with Neil for a while until—
Did you like Mirrorball?
In 95, no.
Okay.
Now, yes. Yeah, I love it now. Cool. But 95, it was like not for me. Because I was a Pearl Jam fan, and it just wasn't Pearl Jam. Right?
I think a lot of people felt like that. Love it, so, but I have the benefit of hindsight. So totally.
I was late to Neil, and I really didn't get back into him until we got onto the streaming services. And what caught me was Time Fades Away.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I heard that record on Spotify for the first time, and I'm like, are you kidding me? This has been sitting here for my entire life, and I didn't even know it existed. And then you go to On the Beach, and it's like, yes. And then you go to Tonight's Tonight, and you're like, oh my God. And then you go to Zuma, and you're like, where have I been?
Like,
when I look at Trance, I know the backstory. I know what he was doing with it. I could deal without like an Inca and the songs that were on the Geffen record they threw away. But those ones he did with the vocoder, it was for a reason. Like, he wrote those songs and he recorded those songs for a reason. It's because he was trying to like get people to understand how hard it is to deal with a son who has cerebral palsy. So I don't know. Transformer Man, I love it. Computer Age, I love all of them.
Okay. Yeah. What about you guys, Jim and Pat, if you had to pick one?
I mean, if I had to pick right now, probably Keep on the Beach.
Okay.
Nice.
It's got like a beautiful ragged glory from start to finish, that kind of the world-weary Neil who's kind of learned everything and is looking back a little bit on his former self. I think it's just gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's a great Sunday morning coming down record, like one of the best of all time.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
for sure.
Patrick just sort of offhandedly mentioned mine favorite.
Oh, Ragged Glory.
Ragged Glory. I mean, because it just hit me at just exactly the right age. I was like the perfect age for when that album came out. And like so intensely into music then. And I love that record. And
that's one of my tops too.
Yeah. I think that's Mike's favorite, right? Mike Hsu, the co-host. Yeah, that's one of his favorites. Like that episode, it was like a gush fest.
Well, you're coming out of the 80s and in glorious Neil fashion. It's just it's an unbelievable record.
It sounds so good. But anyway, awesome. Okay.
Yeah.
One question I want to ask both you guys. Have you ever drunk Bailey's from a shoe?
You do.
We are super Irish, but no, I have not.
I don't remember, but probably I have. I don't remember specifically, but I've drunken from a shoe, and there may have been Baileys in it.
Okay. Do you ask all your guests that, or only your Irish guests?
That's a recurring question.
All right. Yeah. Okay.
It's a relatively new thing, but it has been coming up a lot lately. Look it up on the internet, then you'll see what he's talking about. So, tell us. You mentioned the new single. What else is in the future here for Town Meeting?
Yeah, the new single comes out when, Luke?
I think it's the second weekend of March.
We're great at this.
We're really bad.
But it's coming out soon.
Yeah.
You can just go to townmeetingmusic.com.
We'll probably have a few singles this year. We might release some older stuff. We've been doing that just to keep busy. And we also have all been doing solo stuff. I have a solo album that's on Spotify. Russ is recording one right now, like as we speak. And I think Tim will have one coming out too.
Derek's got one coming out.
Derek's got one. Yeah, we all have, but everyone except for Babe.
Yeah, but Luke and I are on this podcast, so check ours out. Luke's is on Bandcamp and Spotify. It's called Sad in October. Right,
I will say that is an amazing record.
Yeah,
I
it's love really it. Good. And he did it all himself in his garage, really good. which is awesome.
I wanted to see if I could.
I'm doing mine in the studio, so I have to raise money for it. So I have an Indiegogo thing going right now, so people can...
Where can people find that, Russ?
I think you just go to Indiegogo and type in Man With Song. That's my solo name. So, and then, the Town Meeting single is coming out. And, just go to @TownMeetingBand. You can find all our stuff.
I'm super happy with the single. If you said the last record gave you a Dawes vibe, this song gives me a super Dawes vibe, if I can toot our own horn a little bit. But I really like it. So.
Yeah.
They've got two vinyl records on sale there at Bandcamp, so I'm going to buy the 2018 one here on the next one. So
thanks, Scott.
All right, cool.
No problem.
This is the new one.
The new album is called
Make Things Better.
And people can also buy it and also learn more about the band at townmeetingmusic.com.
Yes.
And then the name of your podcast is again?
Long May You Young.
Yeah, and people can find that on all the podcast places, right?
Everywhere it's streaming. Yep.
Cool. Yep. So there's been a lot of talk about your podcast, which sounds really cool, and it's great, and I think it's a wonderful thing you guys are doing, but just we got to remind our listeners, right? It's only after you've listened to all 1,050 episodes of Rock in the Suburbs, then you can listen to other podcasts. Yeah.
Are you guys really at 1,050?
Yes.
Wow. Something like that. Man,
that's awesome.
Russ, you know that because we didn't start our podcast till we listened to all their current episodes.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
That's right.
Okay. Luke and Russ, thank you very much for being on.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thanks, Patrick. Yeah, so
thanks, Scott.
Thank you to Scott for setting this up. This was wonderful.
No problem.
Yeah.
And real quickly, if anybody would like information about how you can be a patron of our show, go to patreon.com/suburbspod. And also you can interact with our show by calling, leaving a message, tell us about your favorite Neil Young album or what have you, 612-440-1984. Yep. Or email rock@suburbspod.com or find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those @suburbspod. And you guys did mention that Town Meeting is on, what do you like, Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff?
Instagram.
Okay, so what's that handle?
@TownMeetingBand.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah.
That's where you should go. Thanks very much again. It's been a great conversation. It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And we'll talk to you all later.
I'm moving west of Seattle. Out onto the ocean floor. I don't wanna fight this battle. I can't take this heat anymore.
I'll trade you a Gallagher Brothers bootleg for
you. Yeah, yeah.
Deal.